So tonight you'll see we've been looking at the Shorter Catechism, question 90. I'm thinking about the mission coming up and what is prayer. And prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God for things agreeable to his will in the name of Christ with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of his mercy. So tonight we come to what it means when it says in the name of Christ. And let me read three sections of Scripture, John chapter 14 and verse 12. John chapter 14 and verse 12, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. And then chapter 15, verses 7 and 8. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Verse 16 says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other. And then the last reading is John chapter 16, verses 23. John 16 and verse 23. And that day you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. So those are our three readings that we're thinking about this evening and what it means to pray in the name of Christ. Let's just pray as we begin. Father, we thank you for these readings from your word, and we are reminded that true prayer is in the name of Christ. And we pray, our Father, tonight that you will show us and teach us, Lord, what exactly this means as, Lord, we come before you and seek your help. We pray, Heavenly Father, for your Holy Spirit just to be our teacher, be our leader, and open our eyes, Lord, that we might understand more about prayer and that we, Father, might be encouraged to pray and that, Father, we'll not leave it to others, but we'll pray ourselves and, Father, we'll develop and mature in our prayer lives and, Father, we'll understand what it means to pray in the name of Jesus. So, Father, be with us now, we ask. Lead us and guide us and teach us, for we ask and we pray in the name of our Saviour. Amen. So I was thinking this evening of just this concept of what it means to pray in the name of Christ. And when you think about a name, there are different things that come to mind whenever you talk about someone's name. Everyone has a name. You have a Christian name, you may have middle name or names. You all have a surname. We all have names that were given to us whenever we were born. And your name is what you're addressed by. Whenever we meet one another, we use those names to call each other by name. When Moses was at the burning bush and God met with him at the burning bush and God was sending him on a great mission, Moses was fearful. And if you remember, he said to God, well, when I go to the people, what name will I say of the God who sent me? What is your name? And God said to Moses, tell them the I Am has sent you, the Jehovah God, Yahweh, that I have sent you. And that was the name in which Moses went to the great task. And similarly, when Jesus was born, if you remember, the angels came and they said, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Jesus means God saves, and he will save his people from their sins. So your name is what you are called. It's what you're addressed by. And our names are significant to us. I mean, all of us, you wouldn't change your name for anything. You'd be you're glad of your name, and it's something maybe some of us maybe would like slight changes, but you know, if you call Esmeralda or something like that, you know, you might say, well, I prefer something a bit more modern, but you know what I'm saying, our names are precious to us. Your name is also not just what you're addressed by, your name is your reputation. People get known by their skills, for example. A person can be known, you just say someone's name and you know he's a really good car mechanic. Or you just say someone's name and you say, well, they're a really good accountant. Or someone's name and you say, well, that person is really good at dressmaking. Or whatever it may be. And a name can have attached to it a reputation. When we talk about our names, we use it in that sense. And we also, when we think about our names, we want to protect our names. We don't like people trashing our names. We don't want to lose our names. If you have a name for a good reputation, you don't want to lose that. You can lose it for immorality, for dishonesty, and it can take a long time to get your name back again. Your name is your reputation. It can be a reputation at work or your job or your character. Your name is really important. A third use of name, I'm just trying to kind of provoke you to think tonight about this idea of a name. Maybe you go, this happens I think a lot when you go to maybe, certainly it's happened to me, when you go to maybe change your car and you say to somebody where you're going to change your car and they'll say to you, I know him, that dealer. When you go, say that so-and-so sent you and he'll give you a good deal. Just say my name. Now, I don't know if that works or not. No. But you know the way people do that and they send you into a shop and they say, just say my name and you'll get a discount off for whatever it is you're trying to buy. So we use a name like that as well. And that third sense of how we use a name is in many ways what Jesus is indicating here in John 16 and verse 23. John 16 and verse 23. In that day, you will no longer ask me anything, Jesus said. And this is the last words that Jesus spoke to the disciples just before his death. In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth. Whatever my Father will give you, whatever you ask in my name. In that day means between his death and his coming again. In the last days, the days in which we are living. In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth. My Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. And we saw similar things in John chapter 15. And John chapter 14. And Jesus repeats it across those three chapters. And it's used frequently. And it's repeated frequently as if he is saying to us that we ought to pray more. We ought to see there's encouragement to pray here. The prayer is not to be, as someone has put it, prayer is not to be supplemental. Prayer is to be fundamental. It's not just something that, you know, you happen to do from time to time, but it's something that it's at your core. You do all the time. You're a man or woman of prayer, day and daily. And just in passing, I mean, when Jesus taught the disciples the Lord's Prayer, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. The first part of that prayer was for the name of our God. In English, we don't have a verb for holy. We don't say holify something, but we say hallowed be something. Hallowed be your name. Let your name be respected, Father. Let your name be revered, Father. Let your name be held in high esteem, Father. Hallowed be your name. The name of God is never to be said lightly or in a joke or in an exclamation. The third commandment, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Yet here is Jesus in John 16 and verse 23, which the compilers of the catechism That's the verse they give for this proof text of praying in the name of Christ. In this verse, Jesus gives permission to use his name. When you pray, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. I mentioned going into a shop and buying something and giving someone's name. Or another modern example would be when you go into a computer and you switch it on in the morning and it asks you for your password. And if you put in the wrong password, it comes up those annoying red letters, wrong password, try again. And if you've got a number of passwords, you're thinking, oh no, which one should I be using in this screen? And then when you get your right password, it's like the world is your oyster and the whole thing lights up and you're introduced to a whole universe as the computer lets you into it and lets you into whatever you're doing. And Jesus is saying here to his people that his name is like a password. When you pray in my name, ask in my name, you come before God in the name of Jesus Christ, because you can't come in your own name. Your name is important, as we've said already, and your name is significant. It says who you are. But you can't come to God and say, you know, God, I think I want to come into your throne room and I want to ask for things because of who I am. That would be a bit like, you know, turning up at Buckingham Palace at the gates and saying to the policeman on duty, I'd come in and see the Queen, and he says, what's your name? And you give your name and he scurries away and he comes back half an hour later and says, the Queen's never heard of you. Of course she hasn't. And this is what Jesus is teaching us here. If we just come in our own name to the gates of heaven, to the throne room of heaven, we're not going to get in. But if we come in the name of Jesus Christ, we come in the name of the one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, as it says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. This is the only name that gives you and I access to the throne of God, the man Christ Jesus. It's really important when we pray. I notice sometimes when people pray, they don't add at the end of their prayers, in Jesus' name, amen. We should always pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Always. Because to be a Christian is to pray in the name of Christ. If you're a follower of Christ, you pray in the name of Christ. You don't pray in your own name or in the name of your church or in the name of your family member, whoever it might be. You pray in the name of the Savior himself. And in addition to praying in his name, you also, when you pray in his name, you're praying in faith, believing that the name of Christ is worthy, that what he did for you on the cross was sufficient, that who he is at the right hand of God, we've been singing about interceding for you and for me, that he is there in God's throne room at the right hand of God. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12, in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and with confidence. So we pray in the name of Jesus. So does that mean that the name of Jesus Christ is like a magic formula? Does that mean that I can just tack that on to my prayer as I pray for whatever it may be I'm really craving, whatever it may be I'm really longing for, whatever it may be I really want? You can just tack on the name of Jesus and get it. Well, remember what it says in the number 2 on the answer, what is prayer? Prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God for things agreeable to his will in the name of Christ. Not everything is agreeable to the will of God. Doesn't mean that what you're praying for may be necessarily a bad thing. It may be a good thing. But if it's not agreeable to his will, even if you pray in Jesus' name, it doesn't mean it will automatically come. So tacking on to your prayer in the name of Jesus, amen, is not a blank check that you and I can just fill in for any amount and cash it in and expect God will just answer us because we've prayed in Jesus' name. This prayer and this understanding of prayer is reminding us that when we pray, we come with a huge responsibility, we come with massive privilege, and we don't take the name of the Lord in vain. What we're praying for, we're seeking the mind of God for, we're praying humbly, we're praying submissively, we're praying respectfully, and also with the awareness that maybe it's not God's will for what I'm praying for, even though I'm praying in the name of Jesus. Oswald Chambers was a one-time missionary statesman of the church, and he once said this. He said, "The idea of prayer is not in order to get answers from God. Prayer is perfect and complete oneness with God." Sometimes I think when we pray, it's like we want to get things from God. And prayer's like, you know, getting into the supermarket and you go around with your list and you've got your 10 things you want to buy, and it's just you go around and pick them off the shelves, and the prayer time can sometimes be a bit like that, where we just work through our list. But again, the quote that Oswald Chambers, "The idea of prayer is not in order to get answers from God. Prayer is perfect and complete oneness with God." And certainly over these last couple of weeks, and I've been thinking about prayer, I've become conscious, and I hope you have if you've been here as well, that prayer is much deeper than sometimes the kind of common understanding of prayer. It's much deeper. It's much deeper than getting things out of God. It's as if we have to wring things out of God in prayer. Prayer is not using a magic formula in Jesus' name and just expecting God to weigh in and give what we're asking. Prayer is this sense of finding oneness with the will of God. With God's will, submission to God's will. And prayer may be, I mean, some of those quotations, I mean, there was a quotation there from John 15 where Jesus is talking about praying for love. You know, we're good at praying for things. Are we good at praying for to be more loving? Are we praying for Christ-likeness? Are we praying for boldness in prayer? Are we praying for humility? Are we praying for guidance? Are we praying for acceptance of God's will? And yes, we pray for people to be saved and we pray for the matters of our church. But there is also this sense of are we trying to change God or are we allowing God to change us? You see, when we pray in the name of God and in the name of Jesus Christ, we are saying to the Lord, "Not my will, but yours be done, Lord." Praying what Jesus himself would be praying for if he were on earth. That's prayer. That's prayer. And certainly, you know, when we read the Lord's Prayer, what Jesus taught the disciples as an example, I don't think any of us would have written that prayer if we had been asked for a standard prayer. We'd never have come up with a prayer like that. Yet that was the prayer Jesus taught the disciples to pray. So when we think, as we do this evening, about what it means to pray in the name of Christ, we're just simply reminding ourselves of this dependence that we have upon God, this expectancy, yes, and it's good to expect answers to prayer. I came across an illustration again from the life of George Mueller. I mentioned him last week. He founded many orphanages in the 19th century. Early in life, he met three men who got friendly with, and he put them on his prayer list, and he prayed for them for every day, his diary records this, for the rest of his life. When he died, none of them were saved. But after he died, two were converted in their 70s, and one was converted in his 80s. Muir never saw an answer to his prayers, but nevertheless, God heard those prayers. And, you know, there was, in his life, there had to be an acceptance that it looked like God was saying no, and yet the answer came much later. So prayer is this sense of, yes, seeking God and depending upon God and praying in the name of Jesus, but there must also be acceptance of God's will and trusting God for whatever God may have in store for us. So what is prayer? Let's read it together. If you have your piece of paper with you tonight, Shorter Catechism, question 98. We'll read it together. What is prayer? Prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God for things agreeable to his will in the name of Christ with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of his mercies. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight that the early church was a prayerful church. We think, Father, of the time when Peter was in jail and the disciples met for prayer and prayed for Peter and prayed for boldness for him and prayed for release for him. And we thank you, Lord, that he was released. And when he went to the door and knocked the door, Rhoda ran in and didn't believe it was him. And Father, we thank you for that story, Lord, which reminds us of the early church, Lord, and how sometimes, though they were praying, they were struggling to believe that the answers to their prayers had come. And our Father, we just pray tonight, Lord God, as we just gather before you, that you would help us likewise, Lord, to be your people, Lord, at prayer here in Drumrea. Help us, Father, to learn what it means to depend upon you and to look to you in faith. That, Father, prayer is not us trying to squeeze you into a mould, but prayer is us humbling ourselves before you and allowing you, Lord God, to work in our lives and through us and to change us according to your will and according to your way. Father, we thank you for that, and we pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord God, to wait upon you. Help us, Father, as we call upon you tonight to do so in line with the will of Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray that we might glorify him, that we might hallow his name. For Father, we know there is no name like the name of Jesus. There's no other name given under heaven among men by which we must be saved. Father, we thank you for that, and we thank you that there's power in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we pray tonight, Lord, that you'll help us to call upon that name. So continue with us now, Lord, as we pray together and as we look to you in faith. And our Father, we ask and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.